Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm, Jesse Tapia. Joining me today, Kyle Madsen is celebrating his birthday. Shout out to Kyle. Brian Kivett in the chat had something really funny to say. He said, Kyle abandoned us, so I'm drinking Coke and being a jerk. As opposed to drinking water, being nice to people.
Yeah, Brian Kivett didn't hold the door open for someone today.
Yeah. Just like,
Damn it, Brian.
Shut the door and elderly woman.
Well, that's
face.
What happens when Kyle Madsen wants to go enjoy his birthday instead of come hang out with us at work.
That's right.
Unreal, right?
Exactly. Wow. We're all here on his birthday. Why can't he be?
Yeah.
I didn't take it off.
I know. We should have told him we brought him a cake, you know?
Kyle, there's a cake here. If you're listening, there's a cake right next to me.
Yeah, there's a cake right here.
It's just going to rock because you're not here.
We're going to share it and not save any for you.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I do like. Well, I do like having my birthday on Christmas, but I don't have to request it off.
Oh, your birthday's on Christmas?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Jesus Joe.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is that where the Dr. David meme came from?
That is where that came from.
I did not know that at all. I just saw that. I was like, this is hilarious.
It was hilarious, by the way. Shout out Dr. David. That was funny. But I don't like when I worked at the movie theaters, I'd have to request it off.
Yeah, yeah.
But like if I work a regular job now, I'm set.
Yeah.
So.
Not bad.
Very nice.
Everyone gets my birthday off, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. You set it up so everyone gets a day off for Joe's birthday.
Exactly.
Doesn't have anything to do with anything else. You, the listener out there, could win 2 4-day general admission passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park Thursday, October 2nd through October 5th for a chance to win. Enter on the ESPN 1320.com contest page. Passes courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. So jump on board. Go hop on ESPN1320.com. Enter to win tickets to Aftershock. And it's 4-day passes. Crazy. Some good people are going to be at Aftershock.
Yeah, my dad loves Aftershock. He's always saying, hey, can I get tickets?
So. And you tell him yes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. General admission bands?
He's gotten them before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Nah, yeah.
I was going to say, if he didn't,
he'll be texting me this year. I think he's already probably sent me a message.
My dad was bothering me last night about it.
Yeah. And I'm really bad with that stuff, too. I was like, yeah, I'll let him know. I always forget sometimes.
Yeah, I like Lumineers tickets. Somebody hit me up and said, hey, do you guys have any extra Lumineers tickets?
Yeah.
And we were able to get four.
It's always nice when you guys hang them on the little bulletin board, whatever you want to call it, right there. It's like, oh, yeah, they're right here. Boom, got them.
Yep.
Because you like to be anonymous.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say being anonymous. I'm just low key, I'd call it.
You like to live in obscurity.
Well,
they're on the board. Clip.
Well, no, I'm not taking them. I'm not stealing them.
But you're not going to ask, hey, do you have any tickets for this, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big ask people for things.
No.
I don't like doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in the sense where it's like, yeah, I'm not stealing things or whatever, but just more so I don't like that. Hey, can I have this?
Yeah.
I just like to, if I can grab it, I'll grab it.
When I was at NBC, we had the box, so there was always concert tickets available, and you could go get tickets. And but then you risk being
even on like before, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, send an email." I was like, "Ah, oh, I had to send an email for this."
Now I've got to send an email. Yeah. That's way too much.
Dude, just
way too
when I'm in here, just mention it to me briefly.
You'll be my middleman for this.
Exactly, I can do that. I do work in, like, I am the guy to talk to for
that. Oh, yeah, Joe is the guy.
I am in, well, not the guy. I'm one of the guys. I'm in promotions.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
That's what Joe was trying to tell us.
No, not at all.
He is kind of a big deal.
You work in two different departments. You're kind of a big deal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll take it.
There we go. Let's start at the, at number one. Number one in hoops hype, top projected point guards this season is an easy one. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? I don't think anyone has any complaints about that. I think Shai is easily the top point guard in the NBA at this point, right?
Yep.
MVP, NBA championship. Number two, we'll go through this really quick, is Luka Doncic. I kind of agree there as well. I mean, if you're going to put him at the point guard position, which is what they do.
He's on that fitness magazine. He's ready to go.
Yeah. You know what the fitness magazine, it makes you do is it makes you play defense.
Yeah, he's going to be able to stay in front of people now.
Wait, no, it doesn't. So we'll have to see how that goes. Number three.
James isn't bought in.
Jalen Brunson. Again, like Jalen Brunson's a baller. Talk about one of the great free agent finds ever.
Yeah, of all time, I was going to say.
Yeah. Like you show up and all of a sudden he's phenomenal. And like,
the same way it's an all-time fumble fight by the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Number four, Cade Cunningham. Again, I think there's only one point guard, like true point guard out of this group, and even that is Jalen Brunson, and I'm not willing. I'm calling him a true point guard because he's 6 foot tall. The other guys all feel like they're small forwards playing the point guard position.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Nah, it feels about right.
Yeah, it feels like tall point guards. Number five, Steph Curry. Is that too low for Steph Curry?
I would have. You could always put him at two if you want. I mean, you can argue whatever. I mean, it's Steph.
Okay.
Steph for me is a top seven all time player.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Seven, eight. Weird number. Yeah. He's around there or whatever. So, like, I don't know. You want to throw Steph at one ahead of SJ? Go ahead. I mean, that'd be kind of egregious, but it's Steph Curry.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can make an argument. It's too low. But also, at this point in his career, I think you can make your argument. Like Jalen Brunson, those guys ahead of him, it's their time as well now. So, I don't hate it.
Okay. Number six, we have Trae Young. I think this is interesting because it's kind of like a weird point where I don't think, first of all, there's not a more true point guard on the list at this point than Trae Young.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's led the league in assists or been in the top two or three in assists. I
assume Tyrese Halliburton's not anywhere on this list because he's not going to be around next season.
Yeah, because his future is bleak in 25-26 because he's not going to play.
Yep.
And you're right. He's probably the best pure point guard in the NBA at this point with Chris Paul kind of winding down his career. Number seven, James Harden. That makes sense. I'm not sure about futures.
That feels a little high for the guys that are behind him.
Yeah, you're projecting like that James Harden's going to be able to hold up.
Yeah, like real quick, like we got Ja behind him, Ja Morant.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox.
Fox Tyrese, at number nine.
Yeah, at 9, 10, Tyrese Maxey. We'll stop it there.
Yeah,
like,
I love
I'd
it
take
there.
All three of those guys.
Okay.
Over James Harden right now.
And what about number 11? You're not taking number 11 over him?
Derek White. I mean, yeah, I'll take Derek White over James Harden right now, yeah.
Okay.
I don't, like, James Harden, I don't even, what is he right now at this point in his career? He's not bad or anything like that, but he's just also not what he was at his peak, so it's just a weird player to judge. I mean, going forward, if it's future and all that, yeah, I'll take Derek White.
Yeah.
He's a better defender.
I wonder what he's going to look like with, like, the star-studded team this year.
Yeah.
Because every position, they're like, crazy. I think they're too deep at almost every position. So they've got Beal. They brought in John Collins. They've got Zubats at the center position, but also Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
They've got Kawhi. You know,
It's going to end the way we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got Darius Garland at 12. Is that another player you'd take over James Harden?
I'd at least consider it.
Yeah.
I'm not taking Jamal Murray over James Harden.
Yeah, I think that's where it stops.
Yeah. And then LaMelo at 14. So I'm looking at this list. Josh Giddey at 15.
We still haven't gotten to a Kings player, James.
No, we haven't. So we walked into this offseason saying, hey, the Kings really need to find a top 15 point guard. Without even looking at this, I don't even think it's possible to find a top 15 point guard. Like, for the Kings, like Josh Giddey. Like, you're not going to be able to pull off a sign and trade for Josh Giddey right now. LaMelo Ball at number 14. I don't think the Kings, if the Kings called on him, it feels like Charlotte just decided this offseason they were going to be a lot quieter.
Could they have at one point?
Maybe.
If there was Trae Young rumors. There was rumors.
That's it. That's the one guy I think you could have got. And actually, I think you could still go get Trae Young.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy.
I still have all my Trae Young stock, by the way.
Yeah, because the Hawks aren't going to extend him this summer,
yep.
Which means they're going to go into next season, and he has an opt-out at $49 million.
Which makes the rumors from however long ago make a little bit more sense, too, just given, like, yeah, they're not giving him an extension yet.
Yeah, well, that and everyone knew the second he got to wherever he was going, he wanted his money, like, right then. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, $260 or $280 million. Like, it was a massive, massive contract extension. Number 16, Peyton Pritchard. I'm just going to roll through these really quick. Number 17, Fred VanVleet. Peyton Pritchard seems a little high.
Going to be starting this year.
Yeah, probably. We got Jalen Suggs at number 18. I love Jalen Suggs as a two-way player. He was beat up. Kyrie Irving, I'm not sure how he makes this list at all, because if you're not going to put Tyrese Halliburton.
Expecting Kyrie probably to be back January, February, I think. Tyrese not at all.
Yeah. Okay. That's possible. Number 20 is Andrew Nembhard. I really like Nembhard. I think that's probably a really good spot for him. The problem is we still haven't got to a Sacramento King yet. Number 21 is Drew Holiday, which the Kings chased.
Yep. Next one's going to be a King, right?
No. Number 22 is Stephon Castle. Okay. Number 23, you would think, could be a Sacramento. No, it's Emmanuel Quickley.
Oh.
Another guy who maybe you could have been attached to if you're the Sacramento Kings. It's funny. I don't feel that bad about Emmanuel Quickley at number 23, which means that it would probably not have been a good move for the Kings to go get him. Because at number 24 is one Dennis Schroeder.
Boom. Bum, bum, bum. There he is.
There he is. All the way at number 24.
Same ranking as Malik Monk. Shooting guards.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I think it's unfair to put Malik Monk as just a shooting guard. He's much more than even a combo guard. I mean, he plays a lot of point guard. Number 25, TJ McConnell. Number 26, Tyus Jones, another guy. But would you rather have the 24th best point guard at $14 million or the 26th best point guard at, like, I think it was $7 million? People are asking.
26th? What is the right answer, James? I don't know. What are the Kings trying to do?
I don't know. I think that's the tough thing. When you're looking at a list like this, I don't disagree. Like, I think most of the list is pretty correct.
Yeah. I don't think Dennis Schroeder is too low or anything like that. He's right.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's right where he belongs.
So, yeah, it's just tough that's your big move, is to get the 24th best point guard.
This team, I've been so torn all offseason long between, no, this is a soft rebuild, and no, they're trying to win now.
Yeah.
Because we talk about the 2027 stuff and all that, but also you've got Dennis Schroeder here, you've got DeMar still here, Zach LaVine and those guys. It's like, again, we've been asking all offseason, what is the direction?
Yeah.
What are you trying? Are you trying to win and also rebuild? I don't know. I have no answer for it. I have no clue.
I don't have any answer for it.
I'm confused.
I don't have any answer for it either. I don't. So I'm a little, I don't know what you do. If you're Scott Perry.
Because I get the concept of wanting to win now and go for the play-in and first round of the playoffs and all that stuff for the next 2 years. How are you going to be ready for when that's over? Like, how are you setting yourself up to take the next step? Are you going to, all right, now we start the real rebuild. Like, that was fun winning. Now we've accumulated draft picks and let's start getting this going. Like, how, which is why, like, passing up on a guy like Kuminga is something where I don't necessarily love, because it's like, you're going to have to build for the future at some point.
Well, yeah, and I think he kind of fits the bill as both, like a fourth year going into his fifth year player, but also a guy who's 22 years old. Mm. Like, it does. And not only that, but I don't know that you win more with Jonathan Kuminga, which might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, like for me, primarily, if you were to bring in Kuminga, that's a future move for me. Like,
yeah,
he gets some work this year and all that, but I'm thinking of him, Keegan Murray, potentially Domantas Sabonis maybe, and seeing if you can add some other pieces where it's like, all right, that's a decent starting point.
Yeah. And I'm also going to say this, like, just because they went out and paid Dennis Schroeder doesn't mean that Dennis Schroeder will be on the Sacramento Kings past February.
Yeah.
Like, we have no idea how long Dennis Schroeder will be a King. He's on his 10th NBA team, and I think this is his 6th in 3 years. So, like, look, you paid a guy $14 million, but there are teams out there that would likely listen if they get to a point in the season where they need a point guard. And Schroeder's, it's a 3-year deal. The last year is like 4-point-something million in guaranteed money. I think there are teams out there that would take a gamble on a 2-year deal. And of course, the Kings, at that point, you'd hope that they'd be getting better, that they would be able to get a young player or to get a draft pick that might, you know, bring in a player that would make more sense. We do real quickly. We have this. We have this situation in at Crypto. Crypto is going to put a statue up of Pat Riley. I don't like. I lived through the Lakers Showtime era, so like I get it. But as people who have been around the NBA for like anyone who's watched the NBA in the last 30 years, you don't associate.
He's a Miami Heat lifer to me.
Yeah, you don't associate Pat Riley with the Los Angeles Lakers anymore, right?
No.
It feels like you associate him with the Knicks, you associate him with the Miami Heat, but mainly the Miami Heat. So I'm a little, I'm intrigued by it. And it's something that, you know, again, I'm going to look at this. And
it makes me think about, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later because we're up against it, but it makes me think about Sacramento and statues here.
Let's talk about that when we have the handoff.
Yeah.
So
that's a good topic, actually.
Yeah, next up, we're going to bring in a guest, which we're really excited. Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life is going to come on and join us.
It's about that time.
We're going to talk fantasy football. Have your questions ready. We'll see if he can field questions. Also, Sports Talk on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm, joining me Jesse Tapia, and we've got Joe Brazil behind the glass. We also have a guest coming up right now. We've got Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life. We're going to talk fantasy football with the true Minnesotan, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, coming to you live from Minnesota.
That's right. Oh, I even like you. You sound like you're from Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm from the city that y'all know the movie Fargo?
Yeah.
The Coen brothers. That movie's actually, it ain't set in Fargo. It's set in Brainerd, Minnesota. I'm from Brainerd, Minnesota.
Oh, that's dope.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Yeah, you're out there looking for the snow globe.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, out there in the snow for sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's going on, Thor? Thanks for joining us.
It's about that time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, lots of stuff going on. We got camp going. We're moving in towards opening kickoff here. We got the last couple preseason games, so it's a good time of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time of the year. We like to do Fantasy Fridays. We bring in guests every Friday to talk fantasy football. I think it's great, especially with, you know, drafts coming up. And let's start there. You know, you do have your own draft guide. You have your own draft books. First of all, where can people find your stuff so we get them looking at it right now?
You can find all of our stuff at fantasylife.com. We got all kinds of cool tools there. And then the different shows we do. We offer guillotine leagues, which is sort of the baby of one of my good friends, Paul Charchian, here in town. But I do a show with him every week called the Chop Show, that is specific to guillotine leagues. But I'm probably like you guys. I love playing every fantasy format, but guillotine leagues is a really cool new format to play. But we play them all.
Okay. I think I would like to try a guillotine. Kyle was talking about it. Yeah. It's the Robespierre of... No, you don't.
No.
It's super fun. It's like, you know, you have 17 weeks in the regular season. So yeah. It's like an 18-team league. And all you have to do is not finish last in a given week. But if you finish last, you know, so the first week with the 18 teams, if you finish with the lowest point total, you're... roster gets chopped, you're out of the league. So your roster then goes into waivers. Ooh. And this is one of the cool aspects of it. Every week it's like a
did we lose him?
The auction, in all our fantasy leagues or whatever, guillotine leagues, basically you have a mini auction every single week on the waiver wire with these chopped rosters.
That sounds funny. I've never heard of that till now.
That's amazing.
Cool. No, yeah. Hey,
give it a shot.
Oh, that's going to be tough being the guy, too. Week one, you're done. The team worst. Like, just imagine hearing from all your boys all season long.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And what do you do buy-in wise? Because that seems like it could be a pretty good pull.
Oh, I mean, like, however, you know, just like any other league, however much, you know, people want to play for. But I like the aspect of it where if your team stinks, you're out of it right away. Because the worst part about fantasy is when you have, like, your team's, like, 4-8 and you have no chance to make the playoffs, but then you still have to check in. You know, it's for the other guys setting your lineups and, you know, stuff like that. In guillotine leagues, if your team stinks, you are free to move on with your life. Your team's just done. So it's actually that part of it's kind of neat.
Sounds a lot better.
That's amazing. Yeah. Let's get into fantasy football this year. Before we get into specific teams or players or anything like that, I always like to kind of, like, when we're getting prepped for a draft, what does this season look like for you? Is it in a standard league? Are you chasing a couple of wide receivers up high? Are you a get in on the running backs early because they're not going to be there? Like, what sort of draft strategy do you go into, with everyone out there about to start their drafts?
I'm a stay true to my board guy. And you know, it all matters with the context of sort of the drafting environment that you're in. But I have to draft with so many, you know, drafts where you're against strangers, where you don't really know their drafting tendency. So you have to sort of pick that up as you go. But in standard leagues, my lean decidedly, of course, towards running back or wide receiver early. And I probably skew a little bit more towards running backs than some other people in my industry up higher, leveraging that just a little bit. But the top guy on my board I'm going to go with. And then you see a couple rounds into the thing, you start seeing some drafting tendencies. I'm in a very deep college fantasy football league draft right now, and I'm drafting against a bunch of experts. And those guys in the first couple rounds of this draft, they were all taking the running backs early. So I kind of swerved the other way. I don't know if you guys know college football at all, but I took the Ohio State wide receiver Jeremiah Smith in the first round, and then Oklahoma's quarterback and wide receiver John Mateer and Deion Burks in the second and the third round. All these guys were making fun of me of, oh, you know, you don't have a running back yet. I'll let you guys overdraft the running backs in procession and do your little running back run, and then I'll come back and pick my sort of my sleeper guys of the next tier when you guys are all doing your run of quarterbacks and wide receivers. So it just an example, but that's sort of how I draft in every league.
Last season, Christian McCaffrey probably ended a lot of teams' years before it got started, taking him with the number one pick. Is there anyone this year where it's like, maybe stay away from him if you've got the number one pick this season? Doesn't have to be necessarily because of injury or anything like that. Could be schemes, new teams, or whatever. Anyone like that for you?
Yeah. One guy that we would have got to this point, in my career, the best fantasy call I've ever had was Puka Nacua before his rookie year, telling everyone, go out and sign this guy because he's going to get used and he's good. Puka Nacua is the guy, though, that I think I would avoid in first rounds this year. There's a weird stink on this Rams team already. The Matthew Stafford health thing, they have that van with the cryo in it or whatever that he goes out in front of the stadium and he's sitting in there for a couple hours. The Rams acquired a second first round pick, as you guys know, this past April. My primary job is NFL draft analyst. And it's interesting the decisions that teams make when you put them on the spot and everyone is sort of sitting around the same poker table. The Rams traded out of the first round with the Atlanta Falcons to pick up a second first round pick for this coming April. And as you guys know, they were very close to a divorce with Matthew Stafford in advance of that. There was a couple different teams that were coming after Stafford hard through trade. The Raiders initially and the Giants were two of the primary ones. But I think this is the last year you're going to see Matthew Stafford with the Rams. I think that trade for the extra first round pick was telegraphing to people, we will be selecting our quarterback of the future in this coming April. And I think if the season, here's my whole point with this. I think if the season starts to go a little bit wayward, there is no incentive for the Rams, if you start to get out of the playoff race, to continue to trot Matthew Stafford out there, especially if he's not 100%, you could see him get shut down early. And you could see the team maybe start jockeying for draft positioning if the start of the season doesn't go well. So I think all of these factors have to be baked in when you consider Puka Nacua. He's a top 10 pick in fantasy drafts. I would not take him in the top 10.
Gotcha.
Interesting. You are a guy who you talked about the draft, right? The San Francisco 49ers play the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. We're going to get our second look at Ashton Jeanty. Where are you at with him, especially if you're in a keeper league and you're looking at the long term? Is this a guy that you're taking top five, or are you taking him top 10? Like, where do you put him in your sort of your hierarchy with a keeper league?
In a keeper league, I'd take him first overall. I think Ashton Jeanty is absolutely amazing. One of the hardest guys to tackle that I've ever seen in college. He can handle heavy usage. And I think the thing that people miss with Ashton Jeanty is he's also a really good receiver. And I think the reason that they miss this is because last year, Boise State, the offseason heading into the season, Jeanty very briefly considered transferring to a Power Four program. He never entered the portal, but he was listening to some of the things that were being tossed at him. And Boise State, in their bid to keep Ashton Jeanty, they not only got help from a couple boosters and a local car dealership, but they also made Ashton Jeanty an argument, a presentation of, we are going to attempt to get you to New York and to win the Heisman this year. And one of the sort of offensive usage things that they did to do that was they took away his touches as a receiver and funneled them all to his touches as a running back. Because the whole purpose was, let's make a run at Barry Sanders' single season rushing record. And Jeanty came close. And obviously he came close to winning the Heisman. However, the year before that, so Jeanty, his second to last season, his true sophomore season at Boise State, he was one of the best receiving backs that we've seen in college football the last several years. Ashton Jeanty in high school, you go back to Frisco High. Ashton Jeanty went to high school in Texas after his family moved from Italy, which is one of the reasons his father was in the military. It's one of the reasons why he had gone under the radar as a recruit. But at Frisco High, as a junior in high school, Ashton Jeanty was an all-state slot receiver. Receiver. He took over. And by the way, the guy who played that position before him was Marvin Mims. So he took over for Marvin Mims as the slot receiver of this team, was awesome. And then the last season, the reason that they put him at slot receiver was Frisco High at the time, their running back also got a D1 scholarship. It was this kid named Jaden Nixon. So then when Jaden Nixon left, he signed with Oklahoma State. Jeanty, his senior year, became the bell cow running back for Frisco High. But that's sort of the reason why he went under the radar as a recruit. But the whole point I want to make is this kid is a really, really good receiver. So you're going to see him get pounded with targets in the passing game as well. Chip Kelly, think back to last year when they won the national title at Ohio State, when Chip Kelly was running that offense, the way that they used Travion Henderson. Jeanty is not the exact same kind of a receiver as Henderson. Henderson is more explosive, but Jeanty, you could argue that he's more skilled, and he's very efficient, has good ball skills as far as receiver goes, and it goes without saying that he's really good after the catch as well. So Ashton Jeanty, thumbs up for me.
We'll go to the other side, who they're playing, the 49ers, tomorrow. How do you feel about Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, like just that group on offense? I feel like Christian McCaffrey is always some people look at, but like, how do you feel about those guys?
Yeah, Purdy, I would see him as like a low-end QB1 or high-end QB2. You know, you're talking like a 12-team standard league. And as you guys know, in the court of public opinion, Brock Purdy sometimes gets disrespected. So sometimes you can get him, you know, over these years, you can get him at a little bit of a discount. There's also some questions about, you know, as you guys know, some of the skill guys having left the 49ers. How are you going to retool that thing? So I think that's a guy you can get on a little bit of a discount. Jennings, I like Jennings' game enough, but I would be fading him at the price tag that he's at. Him and Pearsall, I'm trying to pull up some of the consensus rankings. Him and Pearsall are pretty close to each other. You know, you look at the consensus rankings, and I'm curious your guys' take. I like Pearsall more. I think Pearsall is going to be the very clear wide receiver one for the 49ers this year. I think you started to see it at the end of last year. You guys know his first offseason in the NFL had the extremely unfortunate incident of getting shot, right? And he had to come back from that, and he wasn't full strength until later on in the season. At the end of the season, down the stretch there, they were looking to Ricky Pearsall all the time. He was getting pounded with targets those last couple of weeks when he had gotten to full strength. I really, really like Ricky Pearsall in fantasy this year. He's one of my favorite sleepers. So he'd be the guy that I would take over Juwan Jennings. Not everyone, you know, certainly that's not everyone's opinion, but that's where I'm at with it.
Oh yeah, he's not wrong. He was getting a lot of targets at the end of last year. I think his only issue is that whether or not he could stay on the field.
Yeah.
If he's dealing with a shoulder or if he's dealing with just whatever it is. Yeah, I think that's his only issue. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We are joined by Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life. Awesome having a different voice talking fantasy football this week. You can find him at ThorKU on X. And also you can go to fantasylife.com and look at all of their content there. Thor, you're, again, you're from Minnesota. You've got a San Francisco running back in your backfield now in Jordan Mason. Where are you at with Mason? Because, you know, they do have Aaron Jones still. You got a rookie quarterback. Well, a rookie second-year quarterback, but sort of a lot of moving pieces there in Minnesota. But it seems like you're pretty high on Jordan Mason still.
Very, very high on Jordan Mason. Yeah, Jordan Mason, we were just talking about a sleeper with in Pearsall that I think is a little bit undervalued. Jordan Mason, is, in my opinion, is one of the biggest fantasy sleepers in the entire NFL heading into this season. You look at the consensus rankings and the ADP rankings of fantasy to this point, Aaron Jones has been going way ahead of Jordan Mason in fantasy drafts. In my opinion, they should be going right next to each other. Right, like the Vikings, right when they acquired Jordan Mason, they told not only the media, but they told Aaron Jones, this is going to be a split backfield. And Aaron Jones is cool with it. Aaron Jones was, I brought up Paul Charchian earlier. I think my buddy Paul Charchian that does guillotine leagues, and I do work with him at Fantasy Life. Aaron Jones was telling him at the Vikings draft party in April, yeah, you know, they're bringing in Jordan and we're divvying up the touches. And this makes sense for the team because then with Aaron Jones, you can leverage what he's best at, which is being the receiving back and then some of the stuff outside the tackles. Aaron Jones, very, very skilled player, but not as good between the tackles, especially in short yardage situations. He was, I believe, the NFL's worst running back running inside the 10-yard line last season. They brought in Jordan Mason to fix that. They also fixed their interior offensive line, which has been one of the NFL's worst the last several years, and it will be one of the NFL's best this coming season. You sign two high money guys from the Colts in Ryan Kelly and Will Fries, and then you use your first round pick on Donovan Jackson. Your interior offensive line way better. And Jordan Mason, as you guys know, really, really good player. Last year, he was third in the NFL in yards after contact behind only Derrick Henry and Devin Achane. And he's being brought in again to address the thing very specifically that the Vikings had as a weakness last year, that short yardage rushing thing. Expect him to get just as many touches as Aaron Jones does this year, and maybe even more if Aaron Jones gets nicked up again. I think one interesting note from camp to convey to people is the Vikings have been working a lot with Jordan Mason on catching the ball. That's something that in his college career we didn't see a ton. And with the 49ers, they didn't need him to catch the ball. With all the other pass catchers that they had, the Vikings have been laboring to work on with Jordan Mason, the dump offs, screens and swings. And if you can get him comfortable with those behind the line of scrimmage and we'll get an envoy in front of you, try to get you out on the perimeter into space where you can just start rumbling downfield with a couple of blockers in front of you. Donovan Jackson's already shown that he's really good going downfield and picking people off, moving targets. That will allow Jordan Mason, the offense, not to change much if Aaron Jones gets hurt. Because then we know that Jordan Mason can assume some of the receiving stuff as well. But yeah, super duper high on Jordan Mason this year in fantasy.
What's been the talk around JJ McCarthy at camp?
People are pretty bullish on JJ McCarthy. There's a different narrative about him locally than you sometimes see with national folks that are talking about him. But yeah, positive reviews. Yesterday, the Vikings had the Patriots in town for they're hosting them all week, really, because tomorrow they play them in the preseason. But they've had multiple days now of live practices with the Patriots, full speed practices. And yesterday was arguably McCarthy's best practice this summer. He was just lighting it up. Rave reviews for McCarthy's performance against a real live defense. But McCarthy, big-time arm. He had the second-fastest max velo throw in NFL Combine history, 61 miles per hour, 62 is the record. Great athlete, runs in the high 4.4s. 4.48 was a run that he had at Michigan his last offseason heading into his last year. And then he had the sixth-fastest three-cone at the 2024 NFL Combine, irregardless of position. Not the six fastest of the quarterback, six fastest of all the positions. Very, very agile athlete. It's difficult to pen him in the pocket. It's difficult to sack him. He extends the plays really well, and he keeps the throwing mechanics with him on the move. So he can get the ball out real quick to any sector of the field once he sees it. That's going to be a cool aspect of his game, I think, for people to pay attention to, you know, when we see him this coming year. The other thing I think you'll see that's a new wrinkle to the offense, you're going to see McCarthy's legs used a lot on design concepts, I think, in particular around the goal line. we were just talking about your boy Jordan Mason that I was down at the night practice that the Vikings hosted last Monday. You saw around the goal line what they were doing. It's a lot of McCarthy and shotgun with Mason next to him. And they do a lot of things of, you know, they'll give him the ball up the middle, but then the next time they give the defense the look, they'll fake that. They'll have McCarthy pull it. Now he's going around, he's bootlegging around to the right side, and they have different routes out there for him, or he can tuck and run. You're going to see McCarthy's legs used quite a bit, and including around the goal line. I think he's going to steal some touchdowns as well with his legs.
Awesome. Thor, thanks for joining us. This is Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life. Again, super excited to see where this whole thing goes this year, especially with your Minnesota Vikings. So thanks for jumping on here with the Insiders on ESPN 1320 with us.
Thanks so much for having me, boys.
All right, see you, Thor.
There we go. Like, really interesting look, especially I think it's cool to get people from different parts of the country.
Yeah.
Where their focus is different, especially, you know, a guy who, like, is clearly from Minnesota.
Yeah, Thor was tapped in, too. He had a bunch of knowledge he was dropping there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. But it's cool because I think there are these guys out there that just do this for a living, and you know, Faraz Siddiqui is incredible at what he does. But it's a different version of a different style that we're talking here, and definitely an interesting take.
I can't wait to give my money away this year, James, and not win my league again.
Oh, yeah, that's always the best. All right, thanks for Thor Nystrom for dropping by. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll have the handoff with D'Lo and KC. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into The Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia and Joe Brazil behind the glass. We've got Kyle Madsen celebrating his birthday this weekend. He's going to, he's got a bunch of things planned. And then next, go ahead.
No, you should have planned to be at work, James.
Oh, you should have planned to be at work?
No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. And then next. Fun,
I think he's going to a Bay FC soccer game this weekend or today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this weekend, early next week, we're going to have a little bit different shows too, just on Monday and Tuesday. I think me and Jesse will probably do this again on Monday and possibly Tuesday, and then we'll get back to our normal. We just got people on vacation and everything else, and so we're moving some stuff around, just sort of the business.
So it'll be Jesse and James and then Kyle and Casey for Monday and Tuesday next week.
Yeah, there we go. Also, you could win 2 4-day general admission passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park Thursday, October 2nd through October 5th. For a chance to win, just enter on the ESPN1320.com contest page. Passes courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. For some reason, I can't say Danny.
Danny's the one you have trouble with, not Wimmer?
No, I think it's because I'm about to say Wimmer.
Yeah,
so just, I keep saying Dammy.
Yeah, I got you.
I have no idea.
Lock in, Ham. Lock in.
I try to lock in. Jesse, some really good fantasy information there. Kyle is talking about doing one of these incredible guillotine leagues. I'm kind of here for it.
I'm intrigued too, but there's just too much shame. Can you imagine having the worst team week one? It's just like there's no respect thrown your way at all.
It's like being voted out first in Survivor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you're right. And you could have one bad week and be out.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind of tough because week one sucks now. Like week one is trash. These teams don't play their starters for the most part in preseason. So every time we get to week one, it's like, oh no, the Ravens beat so-and-so team 18-13 today, and it was just disgusting football all around. Yeah, because nobody played, and that doesn't have to be the Ravens or whatever, but just the point is week one football stinks.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, the way that you put everybody back in. Like, once a team's out, you can redistribute their team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for that. Like, it would be really intriguing. Yeah. Especially you could get, like, a top-tier number one quarterback that had a bad week or had a bye week.
Yeah.
And their teams got bounced. That would be absolutely wild.
Maybe you can finesse it. Like, yeah, Johnny over here don't really know too much. So let him play or whatever, and then he'll be out week one. We'll get his team after that.
That's awesome.
What's up, guys?
Damian Marley. What's up, Damian?
Man, we here. What's good?
Kenny Caraway in the building.
Kenny Caraway is rolling up right now. We have an interesting topic to discuss when you guys get all up and running here.
Are we ready?
We're ready? Okay, so
statue talk.
Yeah, we're gonna talk statues because Kenny's Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
Yo, what the hell?
Okay, Lake Show.
Yo, what the hell?
Encore.
Okay, Lake Show.
Get it off. The
Oh! Joe, throw that. Hey! Give me that. Boom.
Hey!
It's a flag.
No. I couldn't even finish. You ain't even on camera yet. Yeah,
what is happening?
What are you doing?
That's crazy.
What are you doing?
You ain't even on camera yet.
That's got to influence my flop. That was a flop by Dame, and they said, oh, it has to be an offensive foul.
I wouldn't call it that.
I don't think that's what it was. Pat Riley is getting a statue in front of Crypto. And like, look, I know some of us in this room are old enough to remember Pat Riley being the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Loved him on Winning Time.
But it seems like we know him more from his time with the Knicks and his time with the Heat at this point.
Sure.
That's not to take anything away from Pat Riley, but it brought me to this topic of, if you were to start putting statues out in front of Golden 1, number one, is there anyone that deserves one? And number two, like, where do you start?
Man. I feel like you start with Chris. Or.
Over Mitch?
Yeah, well.
Well, Chris is number one.
To me, you start with Mitch or you start with G-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a Chick Hearn statue, you can have a G-Man statue. But I'd start with Chris.
Yeah, Chris would be number one. Mitch after that. This is a little bit of a cop out, but you might want to, if you could find a way to put that SI cover as a statue, that's probably how it should go.
Hmm.
I don't know if we
the
have
the greatest show on court.
Copper for that.
Well, yeah, but I'll also point out that. I mean, are you going to put a statue of Jason Williams, who was there for 2 years?
Yeah, that's fine. That's probably the defining moment of the Kings. Like, if you're talking about the funny thing is, if you watch something and you're talking about that team, the team that lost in the Western Conference Finals, all of that, that's going to get shown. Mm-hmm. It's like you blur the lines of history now.
Yeah,
like it almost as if Jason Williams was on that team, like. If they put a highlight, if you ask the ESPN to put a highlight package together right now of that Sacramento Kings team, that SI cover is getting shown. Doesn't matter that Jason Williams wasn't on that team. That cover is getting shown.
I'm not, some people may look at it as sad existence or whatever, but that might be the single most popular famous photo in Kings history.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah. I would agree with you, yeah, but I still, again.
Tough statue.
It's not
a statue still.
Jason Williams was there for 3 years, but it just feels like that team, when they got great, I mean, because that's not even Doug, right?
No, it is Doug's not. But I just don't think that part matters. I think the SI cover is always going to be synonymous with that basketball team.
Yeah.
Even though it's not entirely accurate.
Yeah, they went to a championship status when Bibby got there the next year. Mm-hmm. We all know that. But it's, like you said, it kind of gets lumped in together. Like when you talk about those Kings, they'll talk about Bibby and J. Will.
Right.
People will be like, oh, man, that team with Weber and Bibby and Jay Will doing this.
Yeah, everyone will say that. Yeah. Everyone will say the same thing. Like, and the amount of people who, oh, the Kings, like, they mentioned Jason Williams.
Yeah.
If you talk to, we've talked to artists in the past. Oh, the Kings, man, Jay Will. I used to love Jay Will. Like, oh, that's cool. No one since then, huh?
I went, I got asked by, I think it was US News one time to write about the 2002 Western Conference Finals. And it was crazy because it all runs in together. It all gets blurred, right? Mm-hmm. And so you go back and, you know, you think, oh, the Kobe elbow or the Samaki Walker half-court shot that shouldn't have counted when the Kings were up a ton, or the Robert Horry shot. You always associate the Robert Horry shot with, like, Game 6, but it has nothing to do with Game 6. It's Game 4, right? Mm-hmm. And all of the like main pieces of that, they all just kind of blur in together. And I think it's interesting to go back in the history of it and watch some of the, you know, you can watch the whole series on YouTube. But anyway,
you get the statue up, and then after that, you get the Marcus Cousins jersey in the rafters.
Oh, that's the other one. I mean,
yeah. And the precedent has been set with Divots being up there. And to be honest with you, even Peja, I think. Those guys were great. DeMarcus was a better player than those two.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, and injuries happening, and the time that he played kind of hurt him a little bit too. Like, I get all that, but we can only go with what we can go with. DeMarcus, I think DeMarcus was a better player.
Yeah, DeMarcus
than those
deserves
two.
To be up there.
So if those two are up, he's got a case to have his jersey. I think Mike Bibby should be up there too.
James, your thoughts?
My thoughts, the most they ever won with DeMarcus Cousins
doesn't
on
matter.
The team.
There it is. It doesn't matter. He's the second best player this franchise has ever seen.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's discrediting what Mitch did.
No, I don't think so, because Mitch is the third. Like, it's not like DeMarcus is so much better than Mitch Richmond. Mitch Richmond's career in totality is greater than what DeMarcus Cousins was able to accomplish. I mean, they both got gold medals, though, but Mitch... You know, Mitch did some things that were really special. He obviously gets that, you know, he gets the incredible nod from Michael Jordan about, you know, the toughest two guard to play against and all that different stuff. But, yeah, I understand the team didn't have success with DeMarcus Cousins. That does not change the player that he was. In fact, it heightens it to me because DeMarcus got recognition as an all-NBA player and an all-star repeatedly on a team that was just ass.
Well, yeah, but so did Mitch, and Mitch has more of everything. Like, again, I'll say Mitch is a six-time All-Star in Sacramento. He's also a five-time All-NBA player in Sacramento.
Okay.
DeMarcus doesn't have any of that.
Well, okay, but that's not what we're necessarily going up against. Mitch is – his number's retired. It's like it should be. What is Peja and Vlade's looking like? Their numbers are retired.
Yeah.
Their numbers are retired, and that's the bar that has been set. DeMarcus has cleared that bar as a basketball player.
Okay, then I'll ask this. Does a guy need to be in the Hall of Fame in order to get his jersey retired?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the franchise.
No, yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that's part of why Vlade's in, like why Vlade has his jersey.
It's fine. Like, Vlade's number being up there is fine. Yeah, me. That's perfectly fine.
I'm just saying that's the bar.
It's not, well, DeMarcus is going up, so someone's got to be taken down. Like, Vlade deserves to be there. Like, that him, his, and also, like, its impact on the franchise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bobby Jackson has no impact on any franchise in this league except one.
Yeah.
And if they said, hey, everybody, you know, come to the Golden One Center on January 24th because we're retiring Bobby Jackson's number, no one would, oh my God, I got to be there for that. Everybody there would be eager to honor Bobby Jackson.
Yeah.
Because they love him. But they don't. There's a contingent of people that don't love DeMarcus Cousins the same way. Now, there is a very large contingent that adores him and loves him.
Yes.
But there is a very vocal contingent. There's no in between with DeMarcus. You love him or you hate him for whatever reason. But he deserves to be up there. He was 100% accurate in the statements he made on that podcast. He deserves to be up there.
Yeah, I don't think I fully disagree that his number should be up there. But I also, like, again, you bring up Vlade, you bring up Peja. Both of those guys will be in the Hall of Fame. Like, Peja's not there yet, but one of the greatest shooters of all time. And probably the second greatest European shooter of all time behind Dirk, and maybe even better. So, like, I mean, we can bring in Draz and Petrovic and all that stuff, but that was too short-lived, RIP, unfortunately. But I think, you know, to me, it's
and what are we,
you're getting
what
are we, some of that
what
from
are we
the
doing
wins,
with that, too, though, because doesn't DeMarcus have a gold medal?
He does have a gold medal.
Well,
he
yeah,
absolutely does have a gold medal.
I also, I think wins and leading your team at certain at a certain point is going to be part of it.
He's not leading Omri Caspi? Like, yeah. I'm not doing that. Like, we've got to... James, you have covered a garbage basketball team and a garbage franchise for the better part of...
Oh, 15 years.
You've covered it for 15 years. It's been in existence for the, you know, nearing 40.
Oh, it's 40.
But,
yep.
But 15 years, they've had a 9-year stretch of functional basketball in those 40 years. 9 years. This organization is constantly looked at as a joke. I'm not going to punish DeMarcus. We've got to pick and choose. Was that team fully functional with the proper head coaches and the proper front office and the proper ownership situations, and DeMarcus just tanked a bunch of good basketball players? Or was that a dysfunctional franchise with a dysfunctional with constantly firings and hirings and trades and moving this guy and let's bring this guy in that doesn't work, let's move him anyway, and DeMarcus just was the centerpiece of all of that?
I don't always feel this way, but I do feel in this situation it was both of those things.
Okay.
And that's the tough part. I don't think that he helped at all when it came to
and
getting
that very
to the
well
next
may
level.
Be true. Sure.
I think as a personal, like personally,
he may was have scared a player or two.
Yeah, he was incredible. He may have impacted a player or two's career negatively. Like
possible.
Probably more like 5 or 7. But I also, like I will tell you during that time, I told people all the time, watching DeMarcus Cousins every single night was a gift. Mm-hmm. Like his ability was unbelievable. Like I asked Chris Gent one time to, because Chris Gent had played with Hakeem, and I said, "What do you think about the comparisons between him and Hakeem?" He said, "Hakeem couldn't dribble the ball twice. DeMarcus Cousins is leading breaks and doing spin moves, going between his legs at half court." He's like, what they can do is totally different, but also. Like, look at, like, the evolution of the center position and where DeMarcus is. And I'll even say that. I think, like, the evolution of the center position really starts with DeMarcus. We go through this, sure. the great centers of the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Then the league peters out, and there's one guy dominating the NBA, and it's Dwight Howard. And then the center position reinvented itself with guys who could dribble at the position and shoot at the position. And that had really gone away. Mm-hmm. And watching DeMarcus be sort of the guy who leads to Anthony Davis, the guy who leads to guys like Kat, is really impressive to watch. You can sort of see the change with DeMarcus. But at the same time, you do at some point have to win games.
I mean, that's fair. I think he deserves to have his,
you know,
his jersey retired. Once again, the bar is Vlade and Peja. And he's cleared those bars.
You know what the sad part about DeMarcus Cousins is, to me at least, that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is...
You didn't reach his Hall of Fame
potential? We were robbed of, you know, DeMarcus and Anthony Davis together in New Orleans. We were mm-hmm. robbed of what was really, 7 or 8 years in? Maybe a little bit longer. What was, to that point, a brilliant NBA career. Mm-hmm. Like he was ascending and scoring. He was constant, you know, he was 12 and a half, his 48 games in New Orleans, he was 25 and essentially 13.
Yeah.
And we lost all of that. Yeah. Like as basketball fans, Kings fans, put that aside, just as basketball fans, we lost a brilliant big man who, as you talked about, James, there was starting to be an evolution in that position, mm-hmm. which he was capable of being capable of leading, or capable of at the very least of being a part of, and having him and Anthony Davis together in New Orleans. Now, I know he probably didn't make some of the best decisions along the way as well, but he was never the same after that Achilles tear, and I think he winds up in Golden State that year, and that kind of becomes what George it becomes, Ryan. And it's just,
if he played,
it's never...
But the thing about it, though, that we did... realizes that we're listening to KIFM. cares?
Man. I don't even know what the read is anyway.
KIFM West Sacramento.
You don't know the read either.
Get on Odyssey Station.
No.
KRXQ. Sacramento. ESPN 13.
5 years.
Sacramento sports leader. Always free on the Odyssey app.
That's a win for your boy. That's a win for your boy.
Kyle puts the marker.
You did not get a point when you
initiate it. You have to initiate it.
Okay.
That's a win for your boy.
No, no, don't give me. Hold on. Say it. Say the legal ID and you get the point.
You just got to initiate it.
Say it. Say the legal ID and say it in its totality. You can do this.
You're listening to the KIFM, ESPN 1320, and Odyssey Station, KRXQ HD2.
You're saying a bunch of keywords.
No.
Casey's like, you listen to Odyssey.
This is terrible.
This is ESPN 1320 as well. We're in Sacramento right now.
We're on the ridge, I think.
No, give me that point.
You can listen to Roosevelt as well.
No way you get a point.
Count it.
You are listening to KIFM West Sacramento,
KRXQ HD2 Sacramento,
ESPN 1320 Sacramento.
I said all those things.
Sports leader.
Terrible.
In that order, I don't know.
Chatty house is like, bruh, no, that ain't even it.
It says it has to be in that order.
The legal team.
I don't know about that. They just wrote this.
Yeah, that's true. Charlie just wrote it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was tough.
That's true. Charlie just wrote it.
So, look, in all seriousness, you guys want to get controversial?
Yes.
Jesse always down to get controversial.
James is not.
James, you want to get controversial?
Yes, James is down. James is with me today. Yeah. We're getting controversial.
It
involves Cardi B's new song. Uh-oh. I'm just kidding. No, it doesn't. Go ahead.
We're talking about statues. Does he that never gets mentioned anymore deserve a statue?
No.
Who?
Talking about Napier?
No.
Who are you talking about?
That's where my mind went.
Sweetie.
Yeah, who are you talking about?
As Damian would say, sweetie. No. He doesn't deserve a porta potty. No. Ooh. I'm talking about Kevin Johnson.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Actually,
I don't know.
I'll say this. Number one, the reason why I started this with the Pat Riley thing is because Rick Adelman deserves a statue.
Oh.
Like, if you're going to put up a statue, Rick Adelman deserves a statue. Sure. Gary Gerald deserves a statue any question.
Rick Adelman deserves an acknowledgement. You know, like people brought up, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Jerry, the whole media thing, mm-hmm. that's Jerry's. Mm-hmm. Like, that's that's probably going to be Jerry Reynolds, you know, contributions to the arena forever. Like, when you come in, you go to the Jerry Reynolds entrance. It's like in wrestling, they say the gorilla position. Mm-hmm. That's an acknowledgement of Gorilla Monsoon because that's where he sat. Mm-hmm. So I'm always weirded.
Charlie's here.
It has to be.
Oh, well, I learned something new today.
Legal terminology.
Either way, so count it.
Basically, what Charlie is saying is you're fired.
No, count it.
You're fired.
That's what she finally got us. It wasn't a cuss word. It was Kenny reading the idea.
Kenny trying to get points. So Rick Adelman deserves an acknowledgement. But remember, part of the thing with statues is you want people to flock to them. Mm-hmm. You want them all over social media. You want the pictures. You want... you want people, it's dark, but you know, people go to Kobe's statues on his birthday. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you want that type of thing. I'm not sure Rick does that. You know what I mean? And again, it's not a question of whether he deserves it. I'm talking about, can you create something that is really, really special for Kings fans? I don't know that a Rick Adelman statue would. Truth be told, I don't think a Pat Riley statue is going to do that. They just throw statues up outside.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's why Pat Riley, feel like...
Pat Riley's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah.
And he won, what, 3 or 4?
Where are you putting this statue at? You putting it out on the street?
You got room. They got room.
You going to squeeze it between the Magic and the Shaq?
No, they got room.
I mean, there's a Chick Hearn statue there with a desk that you can sit next to him and, like, you know, take that picture.
And that's pretty cool.
Like, I think it's awesome.
But you can also go see Shaq and Kobe. And, like, if Rick gets one eventually, great. I think the first one should be Chris. I think it should at least be a player or players that you flock to.
Yeah.
That's just my, and again, it's not that Rick doesn't deserve something. Rick absolutely deserves something. And if it's a statue, make it a statue, Rick and Chris. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like you want something that fans will be eager to go see and be a part of. And it's like, you know, you had with everyone wanted to go to the Beam. Everyone wanted to see the Beam, right? There are people who haven't seen the Beam in person. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I told the story of leaving the kitchen that one night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings, Katie, grown-ass woman. Look! Like, she was so excited to see that for the first time in person.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same would be, you have the right statue. I think the same would be true. I just don't know that, you know, Rick and his... you know, little, you know, baggy suit would be what people.
And to
flock
be fair, I'm my standards for statues are pretty high. I think Chris might be the only one that clears it for me, and that might even be pushing it a little bit. Same with retired numbers. I'm a big Wall of Fame guy, Ring of Honor guy. I think that should be more of that. Like you gotta be way, way, way up here for retired jerseys and definitely a statue. But I bring up, and I know what you said is right. Like, you want people to kind of congregate over there and it'd be a sense of pride or something like that. It could never happen with KJ, but everything that we have today down there, the arena and the team, I believe is because he was the mayor.
There's zero question about that. If anybody else was in charge of the city that didn't have the relationship with David Stern, we'd be talking about the Seattle Supersonics right now and not the Sacramento Kings.
That's the other thing. I mean, there could be a David Stern statue. I mean, there,
well, David's been honored. David has been honored, and no one's ever told me this. I assume that was supposed to be Kevin Johnson walk.
Mm.
Oh,
that's a complete assumption on my part, because having the David, obviously we're all grateful for what David Stern did. Like that, David Stern, but he did his job, right? He did his job. He saw a city and a fan base that had zero desire to lose their team. They were, I believe the league was done with the Maloofs at the point, because the Maloofs had gotten themselves into a financial situation where, you know, they had been, as much as billionaires can be, humbled a little bit. And I don't think the league was appreciative of what was going on with them now, nor do I believe that the league was confident in them being able to move forward with anything. So the league ultimately took this over and says, well, here's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And David's contributions for that are huge. But as soon as I saw David Stern walk, my first thought was, I bet that was supposed to be for Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just know that, like, he's revered, especially within the organization, that David Stern is revered. Mm-hmm. And
he should be.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, Kevin Johnson is not nearly enough. Like, even, I know they had the moment where they brought Kevin Johnson out, and I think he believed he was having a jersey retired, and they gave him an autographed basketball.
Damn.
Which,
oh, that's nice.
I do not believe he even left the building with.
I'd leave it there too. What the hell? You give me an autographed basketball? I played in the NBA.
I do this
myself.
Right.
Kenny and I have had very extensive conversations publicly and privately about Kevin Johnson. But if you take yourself back to that time,
oh yeah,
it was difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't do that then. Like, you couldn't honor him as important as what he did was.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if in those situations time heals all wounds. I don't know if it, you know, if you know, if things fall off, you know, it's weird. Like, Karl Malone's birthday is going to be referenced every year by the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's every time it is, it's gross.
Right.
Yep.
It's gross. And so, you know, it's not the exact same thing, but it's enough to where it's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know if you can go down that road with KJ. I believe that if you're telling the story, if I'm taking Reese's son to a basketball game at the Golden One Center, I would tell him we're not standing here today without Kevin Johnson.
Oh, no. We're just not. I made a documentary of it.
Yeah.
And like literally Kevin Johnson's all over the documentary, but it's not just a Kevin Johnson story. And that's what I've always stood by.
But
I mean,
you're right. You're 100% right. But he is a huge focus of it.
He's a huge part of it.
And like we're not hypocrites. Kenny and I sat down and we were asked to do something and we had a long discussion about, do we do this? Like, should we? And we made the decision we made the decision we should.
Yeah.
And we look at Oak Park and we look at what Oak Park is now. And that's because of Kevin. It's not just the Golden One Center.
Oh, no.
Like, Kevin Johnson did a lot for Sacramento. And it's not all is forgiven. It's all behind. It's like the man has done a lot of good for this city. He has done a lot of good for the Black community in this city. And we made the decision. He asked us to be a part of something that we want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And he's been terrific to work with. His organization has been terrific to work with. But from a mass perspective, it's difficult. You can't ask an entire city to sit down and have a difficult conversation with each other like him and I did.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And we have the time and the patience to have a conversation. Generally, people, Twitter, all this, they don't.
Twitter isn't for conversations.
They just say whatever. So that's what will be coming.
It's Twitter and it's Deadspin. Like, anytime there's anything positive for Kevin Johnson, Deadspin just hits.
Yeah,
and it's nonstop. I mean, and, like, look, maybe that's right. Like, in all honesty, I don't know the answer. Like, I've known Kevin Johnson for a long time. I've had plenty of conversations with him. Mm-hmm. But you also, like, there's a dark side there, and you just kind of got to move past it.
It's weird. It's always those, you know, weird things that, like, live and people know about.
Yeah.
Like, I remember distinctively having a conversation with a very recognized ESPN host, and he was like, I can't believe he got elected. Mm. It was the first thing he said to us. Like, I can't believe he got elected. And I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I ever found out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a secret. It was like, oh, okay.
No.
Wow. All right. And then it really wasn't a secret.
No.
And it was out there. You know, that was years later, but yeah, it was out there.
Here's another question, not as controversial. Where should the statue be? I think
replace it by that. What is that? The piglet.
Thank you.
Yeah, get that out of there. What is that?
Thank you.
I think.
Thank you. While we're at it,
go move that to Old Sac.
Burn the rabbit and let's put. I got it.
Yeah.
Put a statue of Rick Adelman where that stupid rabbit is.
I saw somebody
at the arena.
I saw somebody
or
today.
At the airport. I mean,
I saw somebody today talking about, hey, I'm in the city. Guess what I saw. It happens.
The airport? What, you saw the other planes?
No, I saw the rabbit.
No, let me ask you something. Do they live here?
No.
Okay, great. They don't live here. What's stupid is when you do it. You live here.
Yeah, people, that's like.
I do it in a couple days.
It's like people from, like, shameful. People not from here, like, don't, they call it Sacktown.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't do it if you live here.
Especially Arizona.
No, but
Boys in Phoenix.
I've heard that.
Boys in Phoenix love Sacktown.
That's right.
Or they created that.
Hey. You're back in the town. You're back in the city. You let people know. You ain't even got to say no words.
Get rid of the piglet.
Know what time it is.
Get rid of the rabbit. Get rid of
the piglet. Move it to Old Sac. Move it to Old Town Sac. Throw it next to Joe's Crab Shack.
I don't have any type of.
Or throw it in the river next to that boat.
Damn. Wow.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think they should go down L Street.
Oh. Or K Street where it's blocked off. Although it's not anymore. There's a bunch of.
I like L Street. I like the L Street idea. That's a good one.
Keep going down L Street. Just
Is the Delco sign there, or is it the pig?
Delco
sign is there. Yeah, put it right there.
Yeah, I think that there's plenty of room in the Delco to
actually
put those statues up.
Absolutely.
And you see people stop all the time. You know, they have the KNGS, and then you stand in the middle for the I.
Yeah,
people are doing that all day long.
All the time.
Every time I come in to a game,
I think he'll be walking in front of the pictures, like, bro.
Right. Yeah. Well, the tough part is you need so much room. You're holding off traffic to try to get your pictures because the sign is so big and you got to get all the letters in.
Yeah, I also think like you can use the statues as like meeting places too. So hey, I'll meet you at the Chris Webber statue.
Will that add something to
the call it Adaman Square instead of Doko?
Adaman Square. Well, Doko's fine.
Well, the first thing you have to do is you do have to retire Rick Adelman's name to the rafters. Like the fact that that hasn't been done is to me it's one of the most embarrassing things.
Sure.
You know, and the Maloofs are the
what's the deal?
Well, the Maloofs and him did not like each other, and that's why they parted ways.
I have great news for Rick Adelman. The Maloofs aren't here anymore.
Yeah, what's going on here? Do you know?
No, I don't know why they have not pushed the button and done it since. But to me, it's disrespectful.
Rick was so appreciative of, it seemed, the city and this team when he went into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
when we talked to him, I really didn't know what we were gonna get. I was actually nervous when we like, hey, we got Rick Adelman for whatever day it was. And God, he was terrific.
Yeah.
Like, he was just wonderful. And he was so, you know, and I think part of this is George Karl PTSD is George Karl is such a miserable human being that talking to him is a miserable experience. Rick was so appreciative of the acknowledgement of the Hall of Fame and the love that this city and this fan base has shown him. It was such a pleasure and relief. Yeah. When we talked to him.
Was it Nancy Lieberman? The one that's talking about Jeff Teague that one time?
Yeah, yeah.
She was talking about Jeff. Yeah, yeah.
That was recent.
She was talking about George Karl, too, the other day.
Yeah, Nancy hated George.
Well,
George hated Nancy.
We were outside the locker room when one of those situations happened. We could hear the yelling through the door.
He thought, he might have been right, he thought that Nancy was like a Vivek spy. Yeah, no, I've heard it. Like, yeah, like that's what I've heard. But like those two did not like each other at all.
George
and Nancy.
Well,
yeah, they did not like each other.
They're also George thought Nancy was talking to her friends at ESPN the whole time, and that's why things kept getting out. Like
Nancy will talk to anyone.
Nancy is one of the most intriguing people that you've ever.
That's a word for it.
Yeah, and no one name drops like Nancy Lieberman.
Nobody.
In the span of 30
seconds. No one will be happier to tell you about her great friends, Michael Jackson and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, the taking Mark Cuban's plane, sitting next to Jesus Christ.
That's the one. I've always waited for that one. It's like, yeah, me, Michael, Muhammad, and Jesus were.
Yeah. She's an interesting cat, but I mean, she threw George Karl under the bus. But I'll say, the one night that all of that happened, we were outside the locker room. We could hear it from outside through the door. And it used to be that you would wait right next to the locker at the locker room door. And Jerry, there was a security guard named Jerry, RIP, amazing dude. He was standing there like leaning against the door, like what is happening inside. And we were like 15, 20 minutes late. Mm. And that's the night that Drake came in the locker room.
which coined one of our favorite lines of all time that was...
Hi, Drake. Yeah, I mean, we walk in the locker room.
Hi, Drake.
All of us are sitting there, and the players are broken up into little threes. So, like, there's Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo in one corner. And then in the middle, there's a group of players. And then the outside, there's the Jason Thompson contingency. Mm. There's all these groups. And we walk in, and everyone's kind of looking over at us. Like, and so we're standing off to the side because media relations, like, hey, give us a minute. Like, and you can just feel the tension in the room. Mm. And then the side door opens, and Vivek walks in, Vlade walks in, and Drake walks in. And then Drake's like all smiles and like instantly walks into a room that there is clearly something had gone wrong. And it was one of the nights that George and DeMarcus got in, like it went crazy. And
yeah, I miss that era of Vivek when he would have Drake, he would have Rick Ross, he would have Floyd Mayweather, although I think Floyd was more Isaiah
Patrick
Thomas.
Willis used to say
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
I miss it. Bring it back. Yeah. Uncle V, bring it back.
I remember
Glenn Close. We're like, why is Glenn Close here?
I think one of the Laker games, maybe it was Kobe's game. I can't remember. Jamie Foxx was sitting with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bring it back, Floyd Mayweather?
Floyd and 50 Cent were at the same game.
That means nothing to you,
but everybody else knows. Yeah.
I don't even know if they've been seen together since.
Probably not.
Vivek fixed the beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually dapped it up and they're like, all right, all right.
Wild.
What? Yeah, bring it back, Vivek. Bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, interesting stuff. All right. What do you guys got coming up? It's a Friday.
Trista's here. Trista's
she's here?
Yeah, she's here here.
Oh.
Yeah. In one of the great moments in show history, she tapped into the show yesterday.
I saw it.
From our house. So she's here. Eddie Gonzalez will be with us later. And Chris Biederman will be with us to talk Raiders and 49ers tomorrow.
Oh, you should ask about A's as well. He's been and about Sac Republic. He's been doing good work.
He's doing a great job over at the Sacramento Bee. So yeah, we have a lot of time. He's with us in the 3 o'clock hour, so we'll have a lot of time to spend with him and discuss all these different things that are going on. We get his thoughts on the Kings schedule as well. And
yeah, very cool. We had him on earlier in the week, talking A's, talking Sac Republic with all the groundbreaking.
Oh,
and
sure.
Yeah, that's happening.
I can't wait to start seeing that place develop down there.
Yeah.
After years and years and years and years and years of, oh, guys, we're going to do this with the rail yard for it to, like, finally happen.
Yeah.
Or at least finally start happening is a big deal.
It's going to be like a second downtown, basically. That whole area, the whole rail yards, they got state buildings over there. They got the Kaiser campus. They got the Republic Stadium. They're actually doing something with the rail yards where they keep the integrity of the rail yards intact, but modernize it with shops and buildings and I think a concert venue and something like
that. No more toxic waste dump.
No.
No more feeding toxic waste into the river.
Getting ready for D'Lo and Casey live from the World Cup.
There it is. All right.
Yeah, it's literally going to double up downtown, so that would be dope.
I think so, too. Well, Jesse, thanks for joining me today. It's been awesome.
Fun Friday.
Yeah, after he just quit. I thought Jesse just quit.
No, I'm not going to lie. I had my James Hamm at the live show moment in Kenny Care. I'd walk out real quick. He's the restroom.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
It happens.
I was like, I'm not making it to 28.
That's amazing.
That's perfectly fine.
We might not make it to 28 either. I don't know what you're talking about. Big shout out to our guy, Kyle Madsen, who is celebrating his birthday today.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be spiteful here. Drink milk and be mean to people?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Milk is crazy.
Thanks for tuning in to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.